It is not a question of whether a Christian can be possessed by demons, but rather, can a Christian have real freedom? The answer is yes. Yes, most assuredly. Jesus said, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." Praise God.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey there, everybody. This is Anthony Sluzes, and thank you for coming and listening to Your Place of Grace. Today we're talking about the subject, can a Christian have a demon? Let's look at Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even to the death." Praise God. Numerous decades ago, I'd say probably 40 years or even more, there was a particular book that caused a whole lot of controversy and even some division within segments of the church. It was, in essence, called Can a Christian Have a Demon? That's where I got my title today. Can a Christian Have a Demon? So when this book was written, because of the book and others like it, sides were taken in some Protestant denominations and small wars were fought over this subject. But we are not called to take sides, dear ones. We are to center on Jesus Christ and on the Word of God in the flow of the Holy Spirit. There is to be a flow of the Spirit of love. And love does not divide. So the question is not, well, can a Christian have a demon? No. The question is, can a Christian be truly free? That's the question. So the purpose of this message today is to give way to mending any division and freeing people to engage in this ministry of deliverance. When the subject comes up, people often become really fearful. They freak out, and we do not have to fear. Because of this, there is a certain term that should not be used. Let's get rid of it right now. Ministry of deliverance. You've heard that. And this phrase should not be used because it usually only talks about demonic deliverance. But please, dear ones, please hear me. Understand that almost everything Jesus does is deliverance. Oh, yes. So what's at stake here? Will the church be divided so that Satan can turn people aside, so that they're not facing each other? This cripples the church. In a real facet of ministry in the church that God has opened up to us, in recent years, is this ministry where we come in Jesus' name and in his healing and delivering power and anointing and setting people free. That's a real ministry. Since the Protestant Reformation, God has been progressively restoring truths straight from his word to the church. And guess what? Deliverance is one of them. It is a fact that the church will never experience a unity of doctrine, but they can experience a unity of faith. We need to keep ourselves open to one another. We can agree to disagree. We can even disagree without being disagreeable. Amen? Praise God. But deliverance is something that Jesus gave to his church. It is a valid ministry. So people fall into various types of bondages because of their ignorance of the truth. John 8:38 says, and Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So almost all bondages, in one way or another, have to do with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is at the root of bondages. So don't give place to the devil. How do you give place to the devil? Well, we can give the devil place through lying, through anger, bitterness, wrath, covetousness, through a corrupt society, and through unforgiveness. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, your spirit has been redeemed and cannot be touched by the enemy. Just like the angel of death passed over the homes of the Israelites who put the lamb's blood on their doorposts, so Satan must pass over us. This means that you, fellow Christian, cannot be demon-possessed. You and I, who are Christians, born again, we are blood-bought, blood-washed. The blood of Christ has vanquished Satan. Praise God. Understand that bondage is different than temptation. This is an important distinction. Bondage is different than temptation. We are composed of spirit, soul, and body. No one really understands how they work. It is in the soul that we can give place to the devil through ignorance or willful rebellion. The soul consists of the mind, will, and emotions. There are four things Jesus delivers us from, dear one. From sin, sickness, self, and Satan. And with each, there is a different approach. We can be assured that the Lord wants us totally free. What are the dangers that we face these days, even as Christians? Well, we face a lack of a broad spectrum of Jesus' deliverance. I mean, some people want deliverance to be a substitute for self-discipline and self-control. Lord, deliver me! And Jesus is saying, how about obeying me? What's another danger? Well, presumption and glibness. We need to have an openness to see that there is a place for people to be ministered to in this way. We are not to fear, okay? Jesus in us is greater than any forces the evil one can array against us. And then another danger is outright demon possession. Now, that term, demon possession, really is unbiblical terminology. Bible Greek says to come under the influence of. Possession is talking about someone at the spirit level. No one becomes possessed or fully demonized accidentally. No, it takes a willful decision. So what can happen? In the body and soul, people may face something more than a temptation. Jesus said that in this world, we will have trouble. Now, not all trouble is of the devil. Some of it is just life. To be sure, Satan is the tempter. But we do not need deliverance from temptation, no. Not all sickness is demonic either. Our carnal, fleshly self will rise up from time to time, but you cannot cast yourself out. You can't cast yourself out. However, a repeated willful submission to anything with your flesh can create a handle, as it were, that can be seized upon by the powers of darkness. Evil spirits then begin to manipulate that area in your life that's exposed. So why are we bothering with this theme? Voices are raised to reject or totally neglect this ministry within the church. On the other hand, some become flamboyant showmen in this type of ministry of deliverance. It's all about them putting on a show. And this kind of stuff forces people to take sides. And it's sad. We need to broaden the different ways this particular ministry can manifest and center it in the middle of the stream of the flow of the Holy Spirit. Let's not go off the ditch from one side to another, okay? Deliverance is a valid ministry that Jesus himself gives his church. So then people who need help can get it without fear or hesitation. If this ministry of deliverance is denigrated or lost, thrust away as foolishness and fanaticism, then there will be a lot of believers who will not experience the full liberation of their being, and that would be tragic. So, before I close, let me ask this. What is the significance of the ministry of deliverance? Well, first, it was significant and central and a balanced part of Jesus' own ministry. Jesus prophesied that this would be among the signs of those who would follow him, that we would heal and deliver in his name. Jesus also commissioned us to do this. Praise God! Five of the operating gifts of the Holy Spirit are frequently involved when dealing deliverance. There's the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the gift of faith, there's discernment, and there's the working of miracles. Praise God! Why does this facet of ministry need to be maintained in the church today? People ask me that. Why do we need this ministry today? Well, there are people in the church who are so bound up because they've given place to fear through the lies of the evil one. Satan is not less of a liar after you are born again. The only hold Satan has is that we are still living in his domain. The Bible calls him the God of this world. That's God with a little g. The Lord, however, has given you and me authority to establish God's kingdom everywhere we go. And the reason we need this ministry of deliverance are the following. People have given place to the devil. Satan approaches us in two ways. The first is in our mind. He approaches the mind with doubts. There are 57 variations of doubt. The answer to doubt is truth that brings faith. The second is through our emotions. Satan approaches our emotions through fear. The answer to fear is love. You cannot reason fear away because it is totally unreasonable. Another reason we need deliverance ministry is this. Some aspects of human bondage passes from generation to generation. And you can find that in Exodus 20, verse 5. Another reason we need the ministry of deliverance in today's church is the shallowness in much of today's spiritual experiences. In the days of Charles Finney and John Wesley, when a person gave their life to God, they would spend hours before God until they were 100% given over to God. A lot of deliverance ministry was genuinely happening during that time. Read about it. The glory of God fell on those people. Today, such is often just a token acknowledgement. But many deliverances can happen if we would spend a substantial amount of time in God's presence, seeking His face, and through Spirit-led prayer. Another reason we need the ministry of deliverance is this: because we have unique evil in these last days. Oh, yes, we do. Revelation 12, 9 through 12 tells us that. The devil knows that he has only a short time, and therefore a great depth of evil has been released in our 21st century. We need to recognize that there are things present now that have never been present before. Okay, Tony, well, whew, this is heavy. So what do we do then? What should we do? First of all, seek the Lord. We do not need to be afraid to seek God because He loves us dearly. Then, hey, seek out help. When needed, seek out help from someone who is knowledgeable in the Scriptures and can minister in this particular area of healing and deliverance. And then we pray in the Holy Spirit. Yes, this means praying in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Ah, Tony, well, I don't pray in tongues. Well, start. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to give you the utterance to pray in other tongues, and He will. Then we just need to ask the Holy Spirit, help me, help me. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you any sin or bondage in your heart, and He will. And then we need to get rid of all bitterness and unforgiveness. If the whole church would in one day get rid of all bitterness and unforgiveness, there would be such an outpouring of love, power, and acceptance. It would be amazing. And then finally, you need to get into a local assembly. Get into the presence of God with other believers and be taught God's word. So in the church today, we find a need to reconcile the breach that has occurred over the ministry of deliverance. I'm serious now. Deliverance was a significant and balanced part of Jesus' ministry. Deliverance is a necessary ministry of the church and should be included in the mainstream of the flow of the Spirit, because there are many people today who are bound up. Jesus wants them to experience the fullness of liberation in Him. It is not a question of whether a Christian can be possessed by demons, but rather, can a Christian have real freedom? The answer is yes. Yes, most assuredly. Jesus said, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." Praise God. If you're listening to this podcast today and you feel a stirring in your heart and life, let me ask you this. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? Do you? Maybe you've never made Jesus Lord of your life up to this point. Or maybe you did know the Lord at one time and you've somehow, some way, backed off, slidden back. The Bible says backslidden. I don't know your circumstances, but If you feel led to open your heart to Jesus today, let's do it now. You can become born again if you'll open your heart, open your lips, and pray with me right now. You can come back to Jesus by doing the same. Let's pray together. Out loud with all your heart, repeat after me. Dear God in heaven. That's right, pray with me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please forgive me. Please forgive me for the way that I've lived and for the sinful things that I've done. Cleanse me with your precious blood from all my sin and unrighteousness. With my mouth, I confess the Lord Jesus. In my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and he is alive. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of my soul, and I make him the Lord of my life. And according to God's word, which cannot lie, I am washed, I am cleansed, I am forgiven, I am healed, I am reborn. And it's in Jesus' wonderful name that I pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Praise God. It's the greatest decision you've ever made, dear one. Now get involved in a local church. Go to church next Sunday. Get plugged in. Become part of the family of God. And be used by God in reaching out to others with Jesus' love. You feel different, don't you? The Bible says because what you've done, you've come to Jesus. He's now your Savior and Lord. The Bible says this about you in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. Praise God! Hey, if you've prayed this prayer with me, contact me through my website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and say, Tony, man, I prayed that prayer with you, and I received Jesus as my Savior and Lord. And I'm going to rejoice with you, and I will send you some resources, free of charge, postage paid, to help you get started in your new walk with Christ. Also, I have a brand new book that's out right now. In fact, I taught from it today. It's called Healing Handbook. The subtitle is Getting Healed Jesus Way. You can get a hold of Healing Handbook at Amazon.com or at yourplaceofgrace.com. Healing Handbook by Anthony Sluzes comes in paperback and Kindle formats. Buy several copies. Pass them around. People will be blessed by it, and I know you will be too. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. And may he always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may he give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, and home. And may God grant you great favor everywhere you step foot all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.